John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." The beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for just this time. We thank you that you are here with us, and we thank you that you're such a good God. And Lord, we want to just put our trust in you, and I really believe in you and really follow you. Thank you for your presence. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is a famous passage, right? We know the story of Jesus turning water into wine. And we're familiar with what Jesus has done. And there's many things that we can draw out from this passage, right? Many lessons that we can point out from this passage. But I really just want to share with you my main meditation that I had when I was reading this passage. And it's the second last verse, verse 10. It says, and the head waiter said to the bridegroom, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." And in the NIV it says, "You have kept the best wine until now." And the revelation or something that really God brought to my mind as I was reading this, and it just kind of jumped out at me, is that when we go through difficult times, or when there's a need or there's a challenge or a trial that we're going through, and we're coming to Jesus for a time of breakthrough, you know, we're crying out to God, and we're approaching Jesus, and we're asking the Lord to do something. When Jesus acts and when God moves in our lives, it's not just going to be a bare minimum that God does in our lives, right? He's not just going to bring us out just so that we can come out of a difficult situation with barely enough just to get by. But what God is going to do is he's going to really turn it around, and he's going to do something really amazing, right? The wine that Jesus provides in this situation is not just providing some cheap, you know, tasteless wine that's just going to barely get by, that's going to be barely enough so that the wedding celebration can continue. But the wine that Jesus provides for the bridegroom here, it's the best wine. It's the choicest wine. It's a really good wine that he does. And I think it's the same for our lives. When we go to Jesus and we're in a time of need and we say to God, "God, come and move," and we depend on him, we're willing to obey what he tells us to do, he's going to do something really amazing, really awesome, and he's going to leave us amazed and surprised, you know, like, "Wow, that was really amazing, God." Because I think that's kind of his heart for us. He's a good God. He's not just going to give us, he's not going to trickle down just a little bit of blessing, you know, just so that we can barely quench our thirst and barely quench our need. But he's going to overflow and pour out his love and his blessing and his you know, his breakthrough in our lives. And I hope that's an encouragement to us. As we go through life, as we come upon situations where there is a need. God's been speaking to me through my own EMP messages, you know, which is really a good thing. And really, it's the other way around. I've just been sharing whatever God has been speaking to me lately. And I remember, I think, the two EMPs ago, what God was kind of speaking to me about was this issue of passivity, right? Overcoming passivity. And I was reading through Jeremiah and came across a passage that talks about how God is not happy when we don't draw our sword to shed blood when we need to. And it was kind of this idea of being on the offensive, you know, really going out there and destroying the works of the enemy and doing something for the Lord and building the kingdom of God and not just being passive. And then last time I spoke, I talked about Goliath, right? Facing our Goliath. And God gives us assignments that's always going to be greater and bigger than what we can handle on our own, right? Don't ever say that God's never going to give you something you can't handle. I think God loves to give us something that we can't handle so that we get desperate and we turn to God and he receives all the glory. So talked about that, and you know, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? As we remove, you know, passivity, a spirit of passivity from our hearts, and we go out there and we want to build the kingdom of God and we want to be on the offensive, of course we're going to be faced with challenges that's going to be too big for us, right? Because we're going to go out there and we're going to want to do something for the Lord, and we're going to be faced with things and we're like, oh man, I cannot do this on my own. And that's when we really turn to God. And this passage here is just kind of a follow-up to that, because we're going to be faced with challenges and we're going to say, God, whatever wine could be a metaphor for, you know, it's, whether it's resources or talent or time or energy or whatever, or faith, we're going to say, God, I'm running out. You know, I can't do this on my own. And you're going to be faced with this times of need and times of where you're confused or you don't know what you can do in your own strength. But that's a good thing, because then it makes us turn to Jesus, like Mary did today. And we're going to say, Jesus, you got to do something. Wine is running out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm doing in this situation. I know you've called me to do something. I know you've called me to this challenge, to this situation, to build your kingdom, to destroy the works of the enemy, but it's beyond me. I don't know what to do. And when we turn to Jesus in that way, he's going to come, you know? And he's not just going to help you do the bare minimum so you can barely just get by and have a favorable result that's, you know, very minor. But he's going to do something. He's going to do something really amazing. And I hope that we can really have this hopeful attitude as we walk with God and as we obey God and the things that he's called us to do. So just in my own life, you know, so God's been speaking to me, and I've really been trying to take it seriously, you know, about not being passive, or really looking for opportunities to be more proactive in joining God and what he is doing. And there are some situations right now that I'm being faced with, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen. These are very difficult situations. One of it particular is a youth group student, and he's just not in a good place. And his parents are quite sad and worried, and, you know, and I've been praying for this kid, and this is the passage that God kind of gave me about this kid, you know, for the parents too, that, you know, this situation that he is in, we're going to continue to pray, we're going to go to Jesus, and we're going to do whatever he tells us to do, right? Mary says, do whatever he tells you to do. And the servants, it's so cool, because the servants, when they take these stone pots that are huge, apparently about 100 liters each, and our Bonacqua bottle, the big one, I think is only about 15 liters, 20, 18. So, I mean, you can imagine how big these jugs are. And it says they filled it to the brim, right? They didn't, Right? They didn't hesitate. They didn't look at it and go, what are you, what, like, why are we filling this thing with water? It's going to be heavy. It's, you know, it's just a, it doesn't make any sense. But they don't do a half-hearted job. They fill it to the brim. So we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. We're going to obey. We're going to go for it. And, you know, our hope and our faith is that when God comes and he moves and brings breakthrough in this young man's life, it's not just going to be like he barely comes out to church and just holds on to his faith, but it's going to be a big turnaround, right? It's going to be 180 degrees, and what the enemy is doing now, God's going to really turn that around, and he's going to really be a man of God. He's going to have joy, and he's going to be full of faith. Another thing is house church. You know, we're starting house church, and house church, to be honest, is not easy, right? There's a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties that we're facing, but again, as I've been praying and meditating, this passage comes to mind for me, and Jesus is, it's like a promise that Jesus is giving us, right? He's saying, you know, you put your heart to it and do it the best you can and trust in Jesus and go to Jesus for the resources and the strength. And our house church is not just going to barely get by, but it's going to be amazing. There's going to be things that happen through our house church that's just going to be so beautiful, and we're going to be so surprised, and we're going to look at that and go, wow, God really moved, and he really brought the best out of this situation. He did something really amazing, you know? So in all these things, there's a few other things. I'm going into YMCA Tung Chung, and they're giving me a lot of freedom to do stuff, but honestly, I'm like overwhelmed. I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to bring the gospel to these bunch of kids that some of them are Muslims, you know, Hindus and heathens? Like, they're just not Christian kids. But I'm like, I'm praying and I'm saying, God, help me. And this is a Goliath for me, but I'm trusting. I'm being hopeful that God's going to do something. And it's not just going to be the bare minimum. I'm not going to barely just get by and have a program that just kind of runs. But it's going to be something amazing, because when Jesus moves, he doesn't bring out just cheap wine. He brings out the best wine. And I hope that will be an encouragement for you too in your own ministry, in your own life. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you're contending for, that God is going to move, right? He's going to be faithful as we come to him for breakthrough, as we come to him in our times of need. And he's not going to just do the bare minimum for you to get by, but he's going to really do something amazing. And I just want to finish. It's a very short devotional, actually. I want to finish with this last, with this verse, right? The head waiter says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine, but you have saved the best until now. And it could almost read like a rebuke to us, you know, that often when we're faced with a situation, what we do, we don't turn to God, we try to do it in our own strength, and what happens is we come up with wine that is not that good, right? And the head waiter is saying, what are you doing? Why did you save the best wine till the last? And it's like that's speaking to us, and God is saying, why do you save the best wine to the last? Why do you save the best option, which is coming to Jesus and relying on him till the last, when you're totally at your wit's end and you've done all that you can and come up with cheap solutions and cheap ways of doing things and it hasn't been the best? And when you can't do that anymore, then you come to Jesus and then you get the best wine. I feel like God's saying, don't do that. Don't wait till the last resort, you know, to come to God and obey him and listen to him and do things his way. Instead, you know, come to him now, right? Don't try to do things on your own strength. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Don't rely on your own strength and come up with these things and get stressed out and all that stuff, but come to Jesus now so that the best wine can be served sooner, earlier, instead of at the very end after you've done everything else. So let's just go before the Lord, and I'm just going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come in your encouragement, God, and help us just to be so hopeful, God, even when we're faced with situations that are difficult, that is a Goliath in our lives, God, and we're just praying for breakthrough and we don't know what's going to happen. I pray, Lord, that we will see that when you come through for us, Lord Jesus, and you do a miracle, God, and you bring your solution to the situation, God, it's not just going to be some cheap, bare minimum kind of a solution. You're not going to just trickle down your blessing, but God, it's going to be an overflow, God. You're going to do something so abundantly amazing and great. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to really believe that and help us to really put our hope in that, God. Whatever we're doing, whether it's leading a ministry or starting out something new or we're just going through a tough situation, Lord, when we come to you, Jesus, you're gonna do the best. You're going to bring the best out of the situation that we're in. So, Father, we come to you and I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, God, whatever this situation might be. And come in your hope, Lord. Come in your encouragement for us, God. Thank you, Father.
Love endures. Oh.
Yes, God, we thank you for your faithfulness that we have already seen. You know, we're thinking of all the good things that you have done, and we know that you are so faithful. God, you're so faithful. You're so worthy of our trust and our obedience, God, and help us to continue to believe. Continue to believe in you. Increase our faith, God, and help us to really be so hopeful, God. To operate in hope and in faith, God, that you're going to move and you're going to do amazing things. God, you're going to continue to do amazing things in our lives. So, Lord, help us to have that kind of an attitude. And we're just going to come before you with our prayers. Holy Spirit, help us to really pray for our church, God. Thank you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer for our church. Let's just lift up... those of us that are going through cancer or chemotherapy or going through major surgery and recovering, let's pray that God will come in His healing. Let's pray that God will come in His encouragement and in His power over our friends on this list. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray with compassion, love, and let's pray fervently for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are in need of healing physically, but also spiritually. They need to meet the Lord Jesus, and they need salvation. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for just that God would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for divine appointments and opportunities where they can hear the gospel. And let's pray for God's power to be seen in this time, and that there will be healing that comes to them. So let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for various other infirmities that our church members are going through. And if you can also pray for Pastor Sam, please. He just had a shoulder operation. And I think everything went well, but he's just in recovery mode. And it's going to be a long process for him. So let's just pray that he would recover very well. His surgery was yesterday. He's going to be released today. So just pray for continued healing for him and for others on this list. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for a job. Let's really pray for breakthrough for them. Let's pray that they will not be discouraged in this time. But God would really speak to them and encourage them in this time. And let's pray for favor and direction for them. Let's pray together. Let's go to our mission focus for today. Let's pray for North Korea and South Korea and Japan. North Korea, let's pray for Chris and the community. Let's pray that they will have faith and encouragement and just so much passion for what God is doing in North Korea. Let's pray for more workers for North Korea. Let's pray also for South Korea and potential future church plant. Let's pray for God's direction. Let's pray for the nation. Let's pray for the churches and the leaders, and also for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia, who's planning and getting ready to go. And let's pray for other churches and missionaries there, as it's a very difficult country for missions. Let's pray for these nations.
Let's pray for our church ministry, intercessory prayer, the well and Cascade. Let's pray for the leaders, Matt, Ricky, and Rachel. And let's pray that they will just be led by the Lord. Let's pray for more anointing. Let's pray for just clarity in hearing God's voice. And let's pray for spiritual protection for them. Let's pray for their personal lives, that they would be filled with so much joy and the peace of the Lord. And whatever they do, they will really prosper. God's favor will be upon them. So let's pray for our ministry team. Let's pray for our men and women's ministries. Let's pray that God would really bless this ministry, and that these ministries will help our men and women to really build a meaningful community and build each other up. Let's pray for the leaders of the ministries, and pray for direction and guidance and God's covering over them. So let's pray for these ministries. Let's pray for our local outreach on Thursdays. SP Lights Outreach, reaching out to the Red Light District, and Homie Outreach, reaching out to kind of the poor, the elderly, and people that are living in cut homes. Let's just pray that these outreaches will be so powerful and so that fruit will come out of these outreaches. And let's pray for the team members that go out, that they won't be discouraged, that they will be full of faith and full of anointing. And let's pray for protection for them as well. So let's pray for local outreach on Thursdays. Thank you. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight, Soho and Harborside. Let's pray for God's favor and blessing. Pray that they'll have an amazing house church, as this is the first one since the break. And pray for God's covering for the leaders. And let's just pray and lift up the house churches. Thank you, Father. We love you, God. Thank you so much for listening to our prayers. And you're so faithful to move, God, as we come to you. And I pray, Lord, would you help our faith to really be strong, God. Help us to be so hopeful, God, for what you can do. Because you're such a good God. And you're so trustworthy. And God, we want to fall deeper in love with you. God, help us today to really think of you throughout the day and to bring pleasure to you through everything that we do. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.